Yo, what up? It's DK. Thank you so much for listening to the Mixing Music Podcast. I just want to do a quick plug about Antares and Auto-Tune. Antares makes the original industry standard Auto-Tune that we all know and love the sound of. We are sponsored by them, so if you visit mixingmusicpodcast.com/Auto-Tune, we do get a small kickback from every purchase. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Please enjoy this episode.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
One, two, three.
Hello and welcome back to the Mixed Music Podcast. I'm your host, DK, and with me, as always, is Lou.
The Linear?
The Great Moreno. Lou the Great. Just the Great Moreno. Like, the Great One. The Great, the Dragon, the Great Dragon Moreno. There you go.
Have you ever seen the movie Beowulf?
No, I've not. I don't think I have.
Okay. I watched that last night, and if I had to be a dragon, I don't want to be Beowulf's dragon.
Why? What's wrong with his dragon?
Turns out it was his son. Had to stab him in the neck and everything. They both died together. It was so sad.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. That's but I'll be sad. A dragon in general. I'll be that. At least I get to live
like,
with treasures.
I've been playing a lot of like Zelda recently, Breath of the Wild.
So you're still trying to take me down. Damn,
no,
DK.
No, you can't take them down. You can't take down the dragons in Breath of the Wild. You just like
really?
Collect, you just shoot them with arrows and then you collect like scales and like you collect like a fang or two.
So I'm like a financial piggy bank.
You can sell the stuff, but usually you use them to like get into secret places. But you know, you definitely
that's
like
a
you
really
can,
odd thing
you can
to want
farm
to get into.
You could farm them to sell. They do have high value in the game. Anyway, this is really random. We're gonna go right into the topic today, what did you say it was?
It's the mysticism of how to get more depth in your mix by EQing your effects.
How to get more depth in your mix by EQing your effects. I think this is a good one. We've talked about this briefly. I don't think we've ever dedicated an episode about it though. Let's go right into it. Okay, first off, this show is sponsored by iZotope.com.
Yes, it is.
iZotope, and iZotope has awesome products. If you go to iZotope.com/MMPodcast, you can get 10% off any of their products or get a first month free in their monthly subscription bundle. I think it's the producer package. Super great company. Lou and I love their stuff, and they actually have a great reverb. Have you used their NeoVerb?
Yeah, I have.
I like the NeoVerb a lot, actually. There's a few different like presets and options, and there's a lot of flexibility in them. It's actually pretty good.
I just
good.
Like the way it sounds a little more modern, because I'm used to using like different reverbs from different companies and all that, but they always tend to do like the old school reverb sound, while the NeoVerb just kind of has this nice polished sound.
Yeah, and I like their room, and they have like three different options. Their hall, you can do like three reverbs and different types of reflections. It's really cool. Very, very cool plugin. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, but let's first talk about EQing your reverb. I think this is a big one. We could talk about EQing your delays as well and doing different processing on your delays and effects, but I first want to talk about the most simple thing, EQing your reverb. So there's a couple things that you could do. One, when the reverb is really messing with your lead vocal, it's exaggerating some frequencies. Like oftentimes in reverbs, I have to cut that 1K-ish, like around that range, 1 to 2K out of the reverb. Not all the time, but sometimes depending on the vocal and how it's been EQ'd and mixed. Bob Horn was telling me about how if we have a vocal that doesn't have a lot of mid-range, boosting the mid-range in the reverb so it cuts through better. So you turn down the reverb and then you boost that mid-range or wherever the vocal is more lacking. And then so that way the reverb
comes through. You can add a little more presence to it.
There you go, yeah. I would say that some people just kind of like leave a wash reverb and like just leave it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that's a good idea necessarily if you don't check for... Sometimes that works. Like oftentimes that does work. But you should always check to see if there's like clashing frequencies or seeing if like there's a frequency in your reverb that's really messing or competing with your vocal.
Yeah. Honestly, for things like that, I like two things. If I'm using just any reverb, FabFilter's Pro MB tends to come in clutch for that, especially if you do the sidechain feature on it. Now, another thing you can use is also from FabFilter is the Pro Verb. I think it's called, or a Pro R Verb or something like that. But it allows you to actually change the sonic characteristics based on its overall tone and the decay rate. So if you wanted the decay of the mid-range at 1K to be 2 seconds while the rest of it being 1 second, you could actually just change that. Or if you want the mid-range to decay significantly faster but leave the low end ringing out a little bit and have the top end just decaying at like a millisecond or whatever, you could really just filter it out. But if you wanted to shape the EQ of it, you could do it within the same plugin, all within the same screen. It's actually really nice.
There's a couple of reverbs like that. Like the Lexicon has like the top end, the high end decay.
The 480?
Yeah, like their main flagship.
I love
reverb.
The 480 for leads. I just love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That used to be one of my go-tos. And yeah, there's like top-end decay versus like low-end decay.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. I've never figured out what diffusion is.
Diffusion is essentially adding... Okay, have you ever used Valhalla Delay?
I don't think I have.
No? Okay, so if you look at diffusion on a delay, you can actually apply it right back to a reverb, because what is a reverb but thousands of instances of delays on top of each other, right? Well, diffusion allows you to actually break out and blur the sound as if it's further into the mix. You know how a lot of people will actually add reverb behind a delay to get it to sit better in the mix versus standing out? Diffusion allows it to sink into that verb a little bit more. But it's not actually like sinking into a verb. You're really just breaking apart the sound as if you're adding many micro reflections into it. Or at least that's the way it sounds like to me. And then again, we're using our ears, you know. But it really just helps me. Diffusion will help me blur the image of what the reverb is actually doing. So if you wanted like no diffusion on it, your reverb would sound more alike to the words you said. If you add more diffusion, it actually break apart the words and blur it into the distance. So if you wanted a very spacey what is that Walheim Whisper, what is that song, James Blake or something like that, I forget his name, but I forget. I don't know. That was a terrible impression. But
I have no clue.
We can add some reverb and post to that, and it'll sound just like him. Whatever. But my point is, like, in that song, he actually has this reverb where it doesn't sound anything like his voice. And I remember talking to somebody who, I don't know what their tie into the mix was, but apparently he was just around or whatever. Or maybe he asked questions to the guy. I don't know how he got this info, but apparently that was like maxed out diffusion so that it wouldn't actually sound exactly like the words he was saying coming through the reverb.
That's cool. So, that's like the most basic thing that we could talk about. I mean, I've heard of people putting in compression in their insert before the reverb plugin. That way,
shout
it compresses.
Antares.
Who?
Antares for doing the auto-tune trick too.
Auto-tune before the reverb?
Yep, I do it all the time.
There you go.
And then
so that way it puts the reverb more in tune.
Exactly.
Without affecting the actual main vocal. What's another thing here? I knew a lot of people that like change pitch or like automates formant as for a reverb.
Use the Juno chorus on it if you want to get some more like warbly kind of reverb.
And this is also like when you do a send and on the on the aux bus where the signal is being duplicated and being sent to, that you put the first insert as the whatever it is, the chorus, the altar boy for tonality, whatever it is, or the auto-tune, and then you put a reverb on with 100% wet. The compression as well before the reverb, right? Let's see. I've seen a lot of that stuff with delays. I've seen people put in a reverb right after the delay with like a little bit, not too wet, like maybe like 15 to 30% wet-ish, just like a touch to kind of like put it a little bit in the background.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen with delays, people like to do like distortion, definitely pitch shifting there.
Yeah.
Do like panning, left and right panning. That's usually like a ping pong delay that's built into the delay itself.
I'll actually, funny enough, chorus. Shout out to Sound Toys. Everybody loves Echo Boy and the ping pong feature on it. But for a little more control, I'll actually use Pan Man.
Yeah. Oh, that's dope.
Yeah.
After the delay.
After any delay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes on a reverb.
Let's see what else. There's like a lot of creative things as well. Like this is not just, okay. Yo, can we talk about this? I know some people that get really nerdy, and this is something that you and I might disagree on from, I have to guess.
Okay.
Okay. I know a lot of people, and I know you've done this in the past because many people have. Mm-hmm. All right. Syncing a delay to a tempo is normal.
Mm-hmm.
Syncing a reverb, calculating the milliseconds or whatever to a tempo.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly speaking,
I've practically done it many times and I still do it to this day.
Practically speaking, how much more do they have to pay you in order for you to get you to do that? Or do you just do that?
Nothing.
For
I do it by default. Reason being is that, one, you know me, I love math. Math is fun. Two, it actually takes the guesswork out of like a lot of the, well, how long of a delay should reverb should we have? It's like, all right, this is the tempo, this and that. For this kind of track, I'd want the reverb to go no longer than a half note. So what's a half note in milliseconds? So I can just put that milliseconds on the reverb and just have a center point versus having to listen in and be like, did that end out too early or end out too far? I'd rather just be in the center and be like, nope, still needs a little more, and take the guesswork out of it.
So this is where one of those things where I'm going to have to speak and I have to say this carefully.
Hurt me.
To do that is awesome and it can work for some people. But if you do not do that, it is not hurting you or your mix at all.
At all. No, I know a lot more people who just look at that and they're like, why?
So for me, it's not that I don't believe that it works. I believe that it works and it's awesome. I just don't think that the mental effort is worth the end result.
I actually have, we talk about like sheets and algorithms and all that, right?
Yeah.
I actually have on my Google Sheets something that actually allows me to just punch in a tempo and it'll actually just do all the work for me in the future. So anytime I actually have a question myself, like, if I wanted to do this specific plugin,
that's for like a wash reverb.
No, it's definitely
but
good.
If you're like throwing a reverb for like specific words, like I just want like 12 fucking seconds. Like I want a long ass reverb with the chorus.
No, I get that.
On
but
it.
Let's say that you're trying to do like a reverse reverb.
That's useful for like a reverse.
Yeah, it's like I want this to come in like a whole bar ahead, but the reverb that you're using, let's say like the BX20 from AKG on the UA platform, that thing has no millisecond calculator or anything, but I've seen plugins the Slate, what is it, Verb Suite Classics. You could set it to sync and it'll do it automatically for you, or if you just already know what the number is, you could just type it in and you're done. You know, and then if you want to be in and out of something and you don't want to have to lock into the sync, having it in the millisecond mode gives you a lot more control over like little minor things, but I'm not trying to overguess it. So if I have a specific number that I could just type in real quick and it's going to work perfectly every time, I'm good.
So another thing that I do is with Slapback, I put Isotope Imager.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the free Imager, the first version, which is the better one in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
and if you go to the new one that came out, the Imager 2, which I still think is free on their website.
Should be.
Imager 2, they have two stereo widening algorithms. They have the first gen and second gen, first mm-hmm. gen all the way. Leave it at the default 6 milliseconds.
Mm-hmm.
Widen that bitch up a little bit. Mm-hmm. That sounds good. I don't like the Gen 2. I like the Gen 1.
No, what have you heard the difference being?
Gen 2 like pans it a little bit more.
Oh, I get it. It's a little more distracting.
Yeah, it's a little bit more distracting. Where like Gen 1 is just a general...
To be almost unheard.
Yeah, like it's a general plastering of wideness across the board rather than like... some frequencies are allocated over here and other frequencies are allocated over here.
So let me ask you this. This is something I've done in the past with success and without success. Have you ever used Waves Center on a reverb and cut the center?
I have not done it for a reverb, mm-hmm. but I do that all the time.
With a delay?
No, with just in tracks in general, like with backing vocals or things like, or a synth. That's
I'll do mid-side EQ for backing vocals for that reason. Because sometimes I want the backing vocals to still be in the middle, but I just don't want a certain
like,
frequency
I don't do that.
Area
I don't,
of it.
I want to rephrase. I don't do that all the time, but there are definitely a few times where there's just a little bit too much in the middle and I want a little bit more space for whatever it is.
But the blend vocals. Sounds weird if you take them out of the middle, right?
The blend?
Of the backing vocals.
Like, if I do too much. I'm only doing like 2 dB max. Of that. Yeah. Maybe we'll go to 4, but that's like a lot.
That's why I do the EQ route on that, but same thing. I'll go into Pro Q3, go mid side and mode in it and cut from the mids. But that's what Lau was saying. Like as far as center and doing like reverbs and things of that nature, like I want the reverb to be really exaggerated sometimes. I have tracks where there's like so much reverb on the vocal, but the vocal sounds dry. And they're like, how the fuck did you do that? I'm like, mid side all day long.
Jason Joshua is famous for always saying one of the things that he always talks about is widening, using like the S1 widener from mm-hmm. Waves.
From Waves,
and putting that after the reverb. So putting the reverb and then widening it even more, maxing it out so the mm-hmm. reverb's like behind you almost.
Yeah.
I don't know if, I can't speak for myself to say that works, but I haven't really tried it, to be honest. I just remembered it right now and I don't think I've ever put it into practice. Maybe once or twice, but.
I've done it never to max, but to exaggerate.
I've done it to exaggerate a little bit
with
various different wideners. I've never, like, maxed it out.
Hmm. You know, I will say this. Shout out to Isotope. What I have done is go into Ozone, and you know how you can pull out modules as individual plugins instead of having to load up the whole thing? What is it called? Ozone 9's spreader or frequency widener? What is the module called?
Oh, Stereo
Imager. That's what it is. And I'll do frequency specific on reverbs and things of that nature where I want like the top end actually a little bit closer, even though like a lot of people say, oh, you want top end on the sides to make things sound bigger. But if I want a more intimate reverb or something that sounds darker, more soulful or something, I want the actual reverb to kind of like decay in the low end a little bit wider, like really spread itself out instead of having the low end clash with like low end instruments.
There's something else that I was going to say too, like some trick that I've done, but I think that the one thing people should do more often, this is huge, this is a big one into a boring mix, into a really clean, nice mix, is to automate your, I don't do a lot of automations,
mm-hmm.
but I automate first the effects.
Yeah.
Like I do delay throws, even reverb throws. Like I keep talking about this song because it's one of my favorite mixes of all time, but Boyfriend by Selena Gomez
mm-hmm.
has some of the coolest, easiest, it's so, such low hanging fruit, it's so easy to do, but it was just done so well is the vocal reverb throws during her verses.
Yeah.
And there's some delay throws in there too. Like those throws make it sound so expensive and so nice. And it kind of, when you do throws like that, it really, what it does is instead of like a blanket reverb, which is adding space, once it goes dry again, it really gives you contrast.
Yeah.
Like once the reverb comes in, you really appreciate it because it wasn't there. And then once it's gone, like you start to like realize how dry it is. Like you appreciate mm-hmm. the dryness of it as well as the reverb of it when you turn it on and off instead of like a blanket reverb.
So
that's like one of my favorite things from that song.
It's kind of funny. I think I took this tip from Jesse Ray Ernstern. But it's kind of like I don't want to say he's readapting something that's already been known, but I feel like I've been doing this, but I pushed it to a little more of an extreme after I heard what he was doing. You know, the old Abbey Road reverb filter thing, you roll off like 6K and above, 300 and below. Well, I remember he was talking about a mix that he did for, I think it was either Burner Boy or somebody, where he's, I had asked a question to him on Instagram. I think he responded to mine or somebody else's, same question style, basically getting a clean vocal with reverb obviously there, but not clashing. You know, because that's a big thing I've seen for a lot of people's mixes. The reverb is either too much, too little, or seemingly perfect. Like, sometimes the rough mix is the way to go with the reverb sound. That's how they felt, and it came out great the first time. But he was rolling off, like, 3K and 600 hertz. So it was all mid-range. And then, like, when I saw, like, when he showed his screen or whatever, like, he was actually sending quite a bit of it. And it wasn't anything that I necessarily thought, like, oh, he just rolled off more to have more mid-range presence. But when I tried it on a mix, the vocals sounded drier, even though I had, like, the send knob at maybe, like, I don't know, minus 10. I don't know. I know that's not very relevant number when listening to us on the podcast, but, like, there was a good amount of reverb. But in context of the mix, it sat perfectly. It sounded like a dry vocal with presence behind it, which was really nice. I picked that up from Jesse, but
I'm gonna have to listen to this episode again and like and take some notes and try that.
Yeah, like I really like it. I actually sent off a mix and somebody told me they're the first time I tried it, their response was, that is the best reverb I've ever heard on my vocal. I took Nels, shout out Nels. What's Nels' IG?
Nels Music 801.
Yeah, that guy, insane with his reverbs, love his productions, but I used his Valhalla Vintage Verb Chaotic Hall thing.
He has a preset.
Applied Jesse Ray's filter and pre-delay suggestions or little tricks that he's done, you know, a mesh between the two of them, and they said that was the best reverb they ever heard on their voice. I was sending a lot, and I felt like I was sending nothing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah, so the point is there's lots of different things you could do to the delay, to the reverb, to different effects. Using choruses and, like, mm-hmm. blending. I think that if you automate your effects and if you do neat things with it, and it doesn't have to be too much. You don't have to be super extra. But the point is if you give tender love and care, some TLC to your effects, it can make or break the song.
Yeah, adding reverb and just simply leaving it there can actually muddy up the low mids in your mix, the mid range, making it sound like everything's blurred, creating no contrast in the depth of it. If you want depth in your mix, you're gonna have to cut away some of the fat sometimes, and a lot of times it's our reverb that's killing us.
Amen. I think so. And like when, so every night on every Monday night, so I'm gonna quickly shout this out real quick. Every Monday night at 8 p.m. PST for 2 to 3 hours, I'm on Twitch giving mix feedback live. And for those that are subscribed to my Twitch and pay the $5, use their Amazon Prime account to subscribe. Or if you want to give tips, whatever, then I can send you a mastered version of your stereo audio file, at least for reference, or you could keep it and release that. But every Monday night on Twitch, 8 p.m., twitch.tv/dkmixes. You can also go to links.dkmixes.com to get to my Twitch. But anyway, on there, I'd listened to a lot of mixes from various different peoples. There is a difference in quality of mixes from someone that does not automate their stuff and has general blanket effects on everything versus someone that does. And for me, like especially in like really intricate like pop songs and trap music, I don't think it matters that much. Just like have a general blanket Travis Scott type reverb in the ad libs kind of thing, you know. But yeah, and right now there's like a big trend with like blanketed reverbs, like post, like crazy amounts of reverb. Yeah. But yeah, we'll see. Like I think that taking it away, moving it around, like playing with reverbs and automating those is and delays. Is a huge thing. I think that can make a song, a mix feel more expensive.
Yeah, definitely.
And with minimal effort, too, it doesn't take that long to automate a send.
Yeah, I've always told people, like, the effects are what kind of create the emotion in a track. Something with a longer reverb that's sung slow with down-tempo music.
Or a lack of.
Yeah, exactly.
A lack of reverb is super intimate.
Yeah, like, honestly, you do an acoustic track with minimalistic reverb, maybe just some room tone reverb, you know, like get a room verb going, can make the performance seem a lot more natural, a lot more lively. And because of that, I mean, I'm just saying, like, what's that one song me and you bonded over, acoustic guitar, Gentlemen Don't Kiss and Tell.
Gay Bondock.
Is that what it was? What was the name of the track?
Yeah, I think it's like Gentlemen Don't by Gay Bondock.
That track is not the best recording I've ever heard. Sorry if that offends anyone.
Are you talking about like the acoustic version where he's on
the
YouTube?
The acoustic version.
Oh, yeah, he's just recording into like a portable microphone.
Oh, whatever is going on. But the overall feel of it is amazing. I like it. I like it more than the original.
There's many instances where I like absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Like not even room, not even slap, nothing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely nothing. I just leave it dry. And there's a really cool intimate sense to that too. When in a world full of reverbs and delays, when you put something dry, even if it's just for a moment, like this is the most common thing when like everything drops off for a second. Like if there's a bunch of reverb and then the beat just drops and then the vocals get really dry before the chorus drop. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that sounds super cool. Like I like that. It really helps you appreciate where the vocals are placed relative to everything else. So I think that's dope. So on that note, is there anything else you want to add? I think that was like some pretty good information there.
If I had to add anything is don't overthink it. Too many people add way too many effects thinking they need more and more and more. In my experience, usually when people have that mentality, it sounds way too drowned out in the mixer, or whoever ends up with the files mixing it ends up taking more of it out. So don't overthink it. You don't need a whole ocean worth of reverb, but if you do these tricks, implement them, I know we quickly glanced over them, but these are things that you can always DM us about, email us about. We're always happy to create content for people to be able to download from our links. I know DK has a lot of them on his, what is it, links.dkmixes.com. Yeah. And, you know, if you guys are looking for specific tips and tricks, you know, this may be a good way to ask us, like, about them. Maybe we can create little tutorial videos of the different things we do and just offer those out. Outside of that, I mean, once again, don't overthink it. It's not that hard. It's creative music. Just whatever feels good is good.
Yeah. And if you haven't already, feel free to join our Discord where we talk about this stuff. You can get feedback from other peers. We have over 400 people in our Discord channel right now at this current moment. And it's actually kind of blowing up. It's done. Nice. It's been doing really great. So join our Discord and do some mixed feedback. All of my communication and file uploading and stuff like that comes from Discord for the Twitch streams anyway. And there's a lot of people on there that are very helpful. We answer questions on there all the time as well in person. We've hosted seminars on there. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And on that note, like, do you want to announce what you were talking about this week? Or are you waiting to wait to take that step?
Not quite yet, but I will say this. If you guys listen back to the Niching Down episode, it's a very important episode, and it's been something that I've been considering. As I get busier with a lot of the work I do, I always consider where can I niche down, where can I become more efficient, and
do you enjoy more?
Yeah, exactly. What do I enjoy most? And the funny thing is, you know, just like DK, I mix and master, but I actually get more mastering requests than I do mixing. Mixing tends to require a little more time that I don't always have, so I end up turning away certain gigs. And instead of doing that, I'd like to focus more on being able to help out as many people as I can. So I am considering going solely into mastering now. Now, check out the Niching Down episode. This will explain the mentality behind it. But for those of you considering going into just a specialty, I invite you to really listen to that episode and you'll understand why I may just become strictly a mastering engineer. I love the process. I love how many people I can help out in a single day. And to be honest, I love just being involved, even if it's just helping somebody get that final touch on an already great mix.
There you go. So we'll keep you posted, because I think like there's some details we need to figure out, but
oh yeah,
you're always ready to jump whenever. So and I'm obviously I'm in full support of it. So we'll make an announcement when that happens.
Sounds
and then it'll
good.
Be like the official thing. The Lou is now officially a mastering engineer.
Oh, yeah.
And Lou will be too cool for the mixers.
Maybe I'll have to rename the company Midside Masters.
Dang.
Actually, I think that name is taken if I use the
Midside
acronym.
Mastering?
Yeah. No, I was going to say MSM. Or no, that was MSN.
SMN, SNM, no,
SNM, yeah, there we go.
Side no, mid-mastering.
I got a little too excited for that. But mid-side mastering has a pretty good ring to it. All right, you know what?
Said, I got too excited
that.
For that. All right, on that note, my friends, happy mixing and stay saucy.
1, 2, 3.
Are you tired of using Google Drive or Dropbox to send files to clients? Well, never get burned again with FilePass. I love and use FilePass exclusively for sending files to my clients. It's a cloud file sharing website specifically made by engineers for engineers. It's absolutely amazing. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/FilePass to check out the full feature list and subscribe today. Never lose another dime to burned projects. Happy mixing, my friends, and enjoy the show.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.